Sometimes it flies. Sometimes it crawls. But it always passes. We mark it. We save it. We waste it. We bite it. We race against it. We measure it incessantly with a passion and a precision that borders on obsessive. When St. Augustine was asked to describe it, he said this: "If no one asks me, I know what it is. But if any person should require me to tell them, I don't think I can do it." You know what I'm describing? Time. Time. Never in the history of the world has time been so important and so valuable and so precisely measured as it is today. I wish I lived in this time period, and then I don't. In 1790, less than 10% of Americans had a clock. And the clocks that they had did not have a minute hand. I would be going crazy. People would be showing up late, and they's like, "Well, it's not 12. It's only somewhere before 11. Now, when we come to Psalm 90, Moses wrote this psalm. It's the oldest psalm in the Bible, probably written during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Moses has two points: the sovereignty and the greatness and the power of God, and the sinfulness and the brevity and the shortness of man. And then he comes to verse 12 and he makes this great statement for us to make a difference with our life. But you got to stick with me through 11 verses to get to verse 12. So, three truths to make the most of your life. Sermon I've been titling, and Scott, I can't see it on the back screen: Making Your Life Count. First truth is this: the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 1. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." So God has consistently looked after and watched over his people in every generation. He has been their shelter in time of need that they could run to and they could hide in and that they could depend upon. Moses refers to God as a dwelling place. Well, who needs a dwelling place? Those who are vulnerable. Those who are homeless, those who have no place to go. He says, "God, you are that person that I need to run to and I need to find safety. You're it. And I run to you." Verse 1, look at verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God who created the mountains, the oceans, the earth, who created you, existed long before you existed. Everlasting to everlasting. He was, he is, he always will be God. Now we in our world, we're caught up with this and this and this and this and this. Moses, probably at the end of his life, says, "Let me just get your focus right. It's all about God." Plain and simple, start with God, end with God. It is all not about you. It's all about God. Look at verse 3. "Thou turnest man to destruction." Some translations say dust, and say, "Return ye children of man." Now, quite a contrast. You have God who is everlasting to everlasting, and man who is turning to dust or turning to destruction. Man is here just temporarily. Look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God sees 1,000 years ago as it was yesterday. Do you remember what you were doing on February the 12th, 1981? No, none of us do. God sees 1,000 years ago like it was yesterday. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now here's what's true in humanity. Every area of life, sports, academics, business, someone comes along who challenges the status quo, challenges the record. You ask me, who's the greatest basketball player there has ever been? I'm gonna say Michael Jordan. Now, some of these young bucks are going to talk about some dude named LeBron James. I'm like, LeBron who? Michael Jordan. You talk to the old guys, and they're going to talk about Wilt Chamberlain. Hey, you talk to other people, they'll talk about Larry Bird, some Bill Russell. I was like, it's Michael Jordan. But there's people that come along that challenge the record. It's true in golf. Who's the greatest golfer that's ever been? Well, it depends who you ask. Some people might say a guy named by the name of Tiger. Some people might say a guy by the name of Phil. Some people might say Jack. Some people might say Arnold. Who's the greatest businessman there's ever been? Well, some people might say, oh, it's got to be Warren Buffett. Some people might say, oh, it's Mark Zuckerberg. Some people say, no, it's Elon Musk. Some people say, oh, no, it's Bill Gates. There is no competitor to God. He was, he is, he always will be incomparable. No one will ever rival him. No one will ever compete with him. He is far above all of us. Amen. The sovereignty, it means the power, the control of God Almighty. The second point, the sinfulness of man. As great as God is, Moses goes in to talk about the depravity of man. Look at verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. Look at verse 5. Thou carriest them away as a flood. They are as a sleep, a dream. In the morning, they are like grass that grows up. They're just a dream. They're short. They're faint. They're a blur. Look at verse 6. Verse 5 and 6. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth, groweth up. In the evening, it's cut down. It withereth. They're fading. They're gone. Look at verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Well, so you have God who is everlasting from everlasting. You have man who is fleeting and who is sinful. And you compare God to us. Look at verse 5. God sweeps us away as a flood. Verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. So God, who is this powerful, sovereign, all eternal God, man is brief, man is fragile, man is breakable. James said the exact same thing in James 4, verse 14. Whereas you know what shall be on tomorrow, what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then, boom, it's gone. Moses points out God's wrath and the reason for God's wrath. Look at verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God who is eternal, God who is sovereign, hates all sin, even our secret sins. Look, verse 7. We are consumed by thine anger. By thy wrath are we troubled. Verse 9. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is there strength and labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off. We fly away. So the sovereignty of God. God is all powerful. He comes and he talks about the shortness, the brevity of man. We're here, we're sinful, and even our short 70 or 80 years, it happens just like that. Heard this year, or this week, about someone in our community who turned and was celebrating 98 years old. And I used to think 98, that is really old. And I'm 51 now. I don't think that's that old anymore. And it just goes fast. And what I've noticed is the older you get, the faster it goes. That's what he's saying here. Now remember the context. Bible scholars tell us Moses has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. Brought them to the edge of the promised land. They decided they didn't want to go in, so they have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And in light of all of that, he says, guys, get the big picture of who God is, of who sinful man is, and then he gives you verse 12. Look at verse 12. And notice the selections of man. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Quite an unusual prayer. He's asking God to make him constantly aware of his mortality. Most of us try to forget our mortality. Ladies wear this all of delay or all of Olay because they don't want everyone to know they're getting old. We don't want to realize, hey, my end is approaching. Moses prays the exact opposite. God, teach us to number our days. Remind me I'm going to die before too long. Keep reminding me, make the most of the days I have left. See, when one realizes that they don't have that much longer to live, they all of a sudden get purpose. They all of a sudden get passion. We need to get busy living because we're going to be dying soon. Several weeks ago, and it happens now probably about every month around here, I get the phone call. Someone gets the message from the doctor. They only have so much time to live. I go in and I sit down. And I share whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to share. But usually involved in that little talk is, you know what all of us know. You're dying. And all of us are dying. But hey, that doctor don't, pardon me, he don't know Jack. He doesn't know when you're going to take your last breath. Beat his prediction. And what you know God's given you today make the most of today. You live today for Jesus. You live all out for Jesus today. You show Jesus. You share Jesus. You say, yeah, but what about this and what about this? No. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about next year. I don't know about next decade. I know I have today, and I'm going to make the most of today. That's what he's talking about here. Job chapter 10 verse 20 says, are not our days few? Job 14 verse 5 says, our days are determined. God knows how many. And notice, he doesn't say how many years you have. He says how many days that you have. Why? Because we're supposed to live every day to the fullest. Jesus, thank you for today. Man, I'm alive. My heart is beating. I get to live for you. I get to make a difference for you. Jesus, it's 4:30 in the morning. Tracy's still asleep. But thank you. I got another day to make a difference in this world. Thank you. Today. You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow, but you know you got today. Numbering our days helps us understand how short our days really are. Notice the last part of the verse, and I'm winding down for those of you who have roast in the crock pot. Help us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts. It doesn't say that we may apply our heads. It says that we may apply our hearts. Because the heart's the wellspring of life. Your heart's all of the true decisions flow from your heart. Wisdom is more than what we know. It includes how we live. So we may apply our hearts unto eternal matters, unto godly matters, unto principal matters. Moses asked God, after dealing with these Israelites for a whole lot of decades, God, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to your things, not just our things. And if we're honest, most of us are concerned with our things more than we are his things. Your computers. Let's do a survey. I like surveys. How many of you? We had like an 85-year-old lady in Sanford this morning. How many of you own a computer in your home? Wait, raise your hand. Come on, I want to see you. How many of you? Raise your hand in the balcony. Look at this. Everybody owns a computer. In your computer, you have random access memory. It's measured in nanoseconds, which is a time frame that is beyond human perception. A nanosecond is a billionth of a second. To put that into perspective, took 500 million nanoseconds. 500 million nanoseconds. God, teach us to number our days, so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. What if this was the last year you had to live? Are you content with what you're doing for Jesus? Are you content with the difference you're making with your family and your marriage? Apply your heart to wisdom, the things that are eternal, that are lasting. I heard about an old boy. He went to see the doctor. Doctor says, you only got 6 months to live. He said, doctor, are you sure? He says, oh, I'm sure. He said, "Doctor, is there anything whatsoever I can do?" He said, "There's no cure for what you got." He said, "Doctor, just give me some hope. What can I do? I only got 6 months to live." He said, "You want my opinion?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You're single?" "Yeah." "Go find you the ugliest woman you can find with 10 kids. Marry her. Go out to Oklahoma, buy you a big farm, and find 200 pigs that smell awful, and buy the pigs and buy the farm." The guy says, "Doctor, will that make me live longer?" He says, "No, but it'll be the longest 6 months you've ever had in your life." God's way, Tracy didn't like that one. God's way is a hook. She said, "You're going to say the ugliest." I was like, "Tracy, just bear with me, baby." God's way. That's what he says. "Teach us." You will only learn this truth if God teaches you, because it goes totally against human nature. "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Imagine if your banker called you when you got home Sunday afternoon. He said, "I got good news for you. An anonymous donor who loves you very much, he has decided he's going to put 86,400 pennies in your bank account tomorrow morning. And he's going to put another 86,400 pennies in your bank account every day for the rest of your life. But there is one condition. You got to use them by the end of the day, or they're all gone." Some of you are saying, "That's $864 a day. Amazon Prime, no problem. I got this." Let me give you a better example. Someone who loves you very much deposits into your bank of time every day 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes, 24 hours. And God says, "Use them wisely. Use them to make a difference. Use them. Stop wandering in the wilderness and doing nothing with your life." Moses says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts."